Well, it's good to be with you, and just want to say a few things before I call on Louise. My wife and I have been married, we're going on 35 years this fall, and we do things together a lot. In fact, we went to the dentist the other day, together. And so the dental hygienist came and said, "Well, Mr. Blacksmith, has there been anything different since the last time?" I said, "Yes." She said, "What?" "Well, there's been a lot of difference." "What kind of difference?" I said, "Well, since the last time I came, I'm more madly in love with my wife than I was. I have a 10th grandchild that was born. So a lot of things have been different." And she stood there and she said, "I wish more people were like you, coming to tell me of good news." My wife, Louise, I just bless her and I love her. I just want her to come up and say a few words.
Good morning. It's good to be here, my first time. But it's a blessing. Thank you for inviting us, Pastor. I see some familiar faces. God is so good. He's a wonderful Father, isn't he? He takes such good care of us. And he's such a blessing to me and to my family. I'm really happy to say that we have five children. And we have three that have accepted the Lord, two more to go. But the last year, we had two of our daughters come to the Lord, and they're on fire for God, Phoebe and Becky. So we're thankful for that. That's another thing that we need to praise God for. We do praise God for that and the recent grandchild that we've had. But God's been so good to us, and we're just, you know, anticipating more of what he has in store for us. And we don't know, sometimes we just sit back and we don't know what's next or where God wants us to go. But like the song, you know, that Peter was singing, we'll go where he wants us to go, and we'll say what he wants us to say and be a blessing wherever we are. And I just want to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, that's the first and greatest commandment that God gave us, that we love him first and foremost. That's the most important thing in our lives, is that we love God with all our heart, all our soul, with all our mind. And the second is like unto it. It says that we love one another. So I just come here with love and blessing to all of you, and thank you for having us.
Well, my grandson and I had a little dispute yesterday, because he made plans that we didn't know, and so he had invited people over, and there were already people coming over. So I told him, "Well, you know, grandson, you gotta tell us, you gotta communicate. Tell us if you're gonna have these plans." And so I was a little upset. My wife gently rebuked me, gently. And so I felt bad after, you know, I told my grandson, "Hey, you know, he felt bad because his plans fell out. His friend could not come over, and so he could not spend time with friends." So I felt bad that he had these hopes, and I had not understood, as I should have. So I said to him after, I said, "No, now he's without friends for that evening." And so I said, "Well, why don't you and I go to a movie?" And he really liked that. I said, "You pick a movie, and I'll see if it's good." So we picked a movie and we went. And we had a wonderful, wonderful time together. But there was a promotion for another film, you know, just before the film. And I was disappointed. In fact, I was mad. It said there's a movie that's coming. It's called Cowboys and Aliens. So what happened to Cowboys and Indians? I think we lost our place today. I told my grandson, I said, you know, I used to love watching Cowboys and Indians, but now I have to watch Cowboys and Aliens? Hear the sound. The drum beat is not lost yet. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. You know, it's Father's Day. There's all kinds of things just brewing in my spirit. And this is one thing that the Lord has given to me in recent days that I really feel that the Lord is speaking to us in this hour, in this season. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 2, Paul, Silas, and Timothy writing to the church of the Thessalonians. And he says, we always thank God for all of you. And I stopped there and I thought, wait a minute. How much of this greeting remains to be a basis and a fundamental principle in my life? How much do I always thank God for the one beside me, on my left, my right, in front, behind, my neighbor, my pastor, my friends? How much do I always thank God for all of them? And how much do I continually mention them in my prayers? I know the Holy Spirit will wake you up in the middle of the night and he'll cause you to get up and you pray and you pray and you pray until you feel that you've finished that assignment at that moment. But yet, how many of us continually not only pray, but we remember those people that are close to us and we continually hold them up in our prayers? What about our prime minister? What about our chief and our council? What about our mayor? What about all those people that we are called to pray for? We may not agree with them in fundamental principles and way of doing things, but we're called to pray and thank God for them. And so I was thinking about this, and the Holy Spirit just began to challenge me to always thank God for my grandchildren, for my great-granddaughter, for my own people, for many nations, not just in Canada, but internationally, to be able to just honor people wherever I go, to let that character and that heart and that love of, and the passion of God and the compassion of God swell out of my life so that, you know, people are touched and I remember them. And I hold them up in my prayers. It says, we remember. What do we remember about the people beside you? I know we need to be looking forward to a future, to a shared future that is improved by our will and our faithful obedience to trust God for everything, for our nation. You know, before the elections, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and the Holy Spirit said this: these elections are not about electing a conservative or electing a liberal or what have you. These elections are about the electing a majority of believers to rise up in this nation as a majority of believers for this land, as a spiritual government. This is what the Holy Spirit began to speak to me long before the elections. And I began to encourage people, and I said, listen, take your place. Vote. You know, pray. And begin to search out God for who you are and what you've called to be and to be able to take your position in this land. And I believe God honored the prayers of the saints. I believe God raised up not in the natural, but first in the spiritual, a government, a spiritual government who would be, you know, who would have passion for the things of God, deep conviction to be able to move in the heart of God and to see change, first in the spirit, then in the natural. It says, we remember. I was beginning to be thinking about, what do I remember about my life and my position in Christ? I began to remember the journey of freedom, the journey that we went on. It was not an easy journey, but the journey that we went on across the nation to tell our people that now is the time to release forgiveness in the land. You may not understand why you want to do this, but you need to do it because this is the word of God. Inasmuch as I have forgiven you, forgive. Inasmuch as I have loved you, love. This is the heart of God. This is the will of God that we release forgiveness in the land. So, how do you do all that? And it says here, we remember before God and Father. I woke up early this morning and I was praying and I was thinking about this very portion of Scripture. What do I remember about God and Father? Well, He is our Father. This is Father's Day. And I confess to you, I never knew my father. My father died when I was maybe 2 years old. Never had a father. My father was always the guy that was on a player's can. You know, there's a player's tobacco. And on the can was this sailor. And when we used to go up in the bush and I was hidden in the tarp in the canoe from the climate, you know. We traveled at least 2 months by canoe to get to our trap line. And so I was under the tarp, and I would be looking at this can, players. And I would imagine, oh, he's my father. I don't know where he is, but he's on this big ship. And one day he's going to come back for me. So as a little boy, I was imagining who my father was when I did not know who my real father was. And then later on, God the Father began to come to me in dreams and in visions and visitations. And I began to understand who my father really was. He was a great, great Almighty, creator of all. And so I began to think about my father, who he really is. And so I thought about, well, I don't really know I never knew my dad, but how many fathers have been there before us whom we would call founding fathers, not just in our nation, but all around the world. Adam says, from one man God made all nations of men. Adam was the very first one that was made. So somehow all of us were connected to this one guy. And he was not a very good father. But yet God placed him there as the founding father. And God allowed to work through his life so that we could learn from him. Noah. Noah's another father. Probably one of the founding fathers that we know a lot about. Because he was a father that went out of his way, out of the normal. He built a boat in the midst of the heat of the day. And nobody listened to him. No, everybody thought he was crazy because he built his boat. He built the boat because God told him to build an ark. And that there was judgment coming. And he relayed the message, but nobody listened to him. And he was a man that clung to the heart of God. He was faithful. He was determined to do what God called him to do. And there's Abraham. Abraham, the father of many nations. He's the father of the Israelite, no, the Jewish nation. He was a man of faithfulness, one that believed in God and loved God, and he honored God. And God said, you know, through you, I'm going to build a great nation. You're going to be the father of many nations. So he loved the Heavenly Father, and the Heavenly Father downloaded a vision, a plan through him. Isaac was born unto Abraham, and he is the son of promise. He's the picture of Jesus. That one day, you know, the father, even though the sons sinned, there would be a son of promise. And through that son of promise, you and I would have redemption. And it was the first example of how a son should walk in the footsteps of a father. Jacob wrestled with the Lord until he got his blessing. How many of us remember now that, you know, when we come into the throne room of God, it's called upon us to wrestle with the Lord until we don't let him go. We hold on to the hem of his garment. We hold on to the altar. And we stay there like Joshua. He tarried still in the presence of God until revelation, until the wisdom of God, until the clarity of God, until the leading of the Holy Spirit was very made clear. Jacob was the father of 12 tribes. What about Moses? A servant in a time of captivity, called to be a leader to bring his people out of bondage. He is known as the giver of the law. He is the one that he went up into the heavens to bring down the Ten Commandments and to give us a standard of life, a godly life. You know, one of the nice scriptures that I read earlier about Moses is, of course, the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32. But in Deuteronomy 29 or 31, it says, God, Father Moses reminds his people, then you saw how the Lord carried you as a father carries his son all the way until you reached this place. We need to remember the fathers. What about King David? A man after God's own heart. A man that worshiped God. A man that trusted God. I mean, he slayed the Goliaths, the giants of the day, because of his simple, faithful love and obedience to serve God. And through him was this great accomplishment. Wars were fought and won. And his son Solomon followed his father's footsteps, and he built the temple of the Lord. He was given a wisdom, such incredible wisdom. Do you remember when the time the Lord asked you, ask of anything in my name? Do you remember your answer to him? You know, I pray, my prayer these days is, Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to bless. If I have money, Lord, I just want to give it away. If I have anything to give, I just want to give it to the kingdom of God. I want to be a blessing, Father. And whatever that entails, let me have it so that I can truly be a blessing to people. What about Joseph? An earthly father of Jesus. Somehow I feel like I can understand Joseph, because a man married my mother after my father died, and he adopted me. I became his son. I was no longer an orphan son. I had a stepfather, and he loved me, took care of me. He was not a rich man, but he loved me. In fact, you know, the only thing I remember about my dad is that we used to sit and he would whittle little animal figures and say, now, son, this is a caribou, this is a moose, now you go hunting. And I'd sit beside the fire and play these little games, and I'm a mighty hunter. And the other thing I remember my dad was, he the only money he ever gave me was 25 cents. But he gave it to me. 25 cents. And he loved me. And we're not rich, but he loved me enough to show me how much he cared. And what about God, the Father himself? What about him? It says, we remember before our God and Father. And then there's a challenge here. It says, Paul, Silas, Timothy are writing, says, we remember, he's talking to the Thessalonians, what if you and I were writing to the church of Mississauga or writing to the church, Catch the Fire, wherever? What if you and I were writing this church? Could we say, we remember before God our Father your work produced by faith? I stopped there when I read this and I said, your work produced by faith. You didn't have all the answers, nor all the resources, nor all the team. But you worked because you loved God. You had faith in him. And your faith produced your work. And so what about that? Do we remember that as a father in our families, as a father in our communities, as a father in our cities, as a father in the nations? Can we say and recognize the work that is being produced by faith in many people across this nation? Your love prompted, your labor prompted by love. Now, how many of us really, really like what we're doing? I like what I'm doing, even though it was a hard journey. You know, when I first came out of the wilderness as a hunter and a trapper and a fisherman, I immediately, the very next day, became a president of a school board, which I knew nothing about. But God placed me there, and he blessed all the work. And then I became a grand chief. And then I kept climbing the corporate ladder until at my young age, the Lord said to me, now leave everything behind. Leave your people. Leave all the things that you have accumulated and just come and serve me. It was not an easy thing. But yet when I look back, that has been the greatest decision I ever made. I have learned to serve God by faith. And I've been prompted by his love and my love for him to be able to do whatever he asks me to do. And finally, it says, and your endurance inspired by hope. Come on. When I read this, I got so excited. Your endurance inspired by hope in Christ Jesus. What is your hope? Is it in your job, or is it in your workplace, or where does your hope come in? What drives you? I remember asking my team in January the 14th of this year. I came to a crossroads in my journey, and I said to my team, I feel like the Lord is saying it's time to lay down Gathering Nations International on the altar again and let him wait. No, we wait to have him lead us again to the next part. And they said, what does that mean? I said, well, it means we lay Gathering Nations International down. And then they came to me and they said, you know, what does that really mean? I said, it means we lay ourselves down, whatever that means to you. And we wait. And I remember telling my staff, because I had just told them, because of this, what it means is there is no more employment. That's your notice. There is no more employment. There's no more salary for you. And I said to them, what drives you to work for Gathering Nations? And they said, it's because we believe in the work that you're doing. We believe in you. We want to serve you. And I said to them again, what drives you? And they said the very same thing again. It's because we believe in this thing. This is why we're here. And I said to them a third time, what drives you? And they started to get annoyed with me. But I was looking for an answer. I was looking for an answer that would say, We are here because we're prompted by love to labor, to serve. We're here because we're not here for gathering nations. We're here because of what God is doing and how we want to serve Him. And so your endurance inspired by hope. Paul said, I'm a prisoner of hope. I want to be a prisoner of hope. I don't want to have every answer, every question answered before I move on. I just want to trust in God. Be a prisoner in Him for the hope for my people. So I want to conclude with this and say, I want you to read back this scripture and say, read it with me. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let that be your prayer as a father, as a mother, as a son, as a daughter, as a pastor, as an intercessor. Let that be your prayer so that you can do what God has called you to do. Now, last week I had a dream. I didn't understand this dream. I think I do now. I had a dream last week where I was in this old airplane, an otter, a single otter. And we were flying in this airplane with my friend who was the pilot. And he had long since passed away, at least 5 years. And we were flying this airplane together. And then all of a sudden he came to me and he said, Kenny, we need to bail out. This old plane is just gonna fail now. And we need to get out. And he lowered the plane down to a height where we flew over a body of water and we both had to jump out. So we jumped out. And I tell you, when you jump out of a height and you jump into water, you go down deep. And I was coming back out of the deep and I was trying to catch my breath. And I no longer saw my friend, but I wasn't worried about him. I saw an island in front of me, which I knew I could swim to fast. And as I was swimming towards this island, on my left is this great wave, a huge wave coming fast. And I knew I had to swim fast to the island and run to the top of the island, to high ground, which I did. And on my way, I ran. I saw a lot of people, and I told them, get up to the high ground. Get up to the high ground now. But nobody was listening to me. And I ran to the height of this, I guess, a hill on this island. And I stood there, and I watched the wave come. And it swept with a mighty force. It was crushing things in his path. It was washing stuff away. And I noticed where I was standing that there was this cache of, I mean, it's like, I don't know, all my survival gear was there. My personal survival gear. I recognized my raincoat. I recognized all the other stuff that I would ever need by being in a bush, learning to survive. I recognized all of my stuff was there waiting. Water and food and what have you. Blankets and mattresses. I saw my wife. I saw my children. And this man came to me. And this man, I don't know who he is. I just asked him. I said, what happened? And I was, 'cause I was worried about the island and the people. And this man said to me, one-third perished. One-third of the island is destroyed. One-third of the people died. And I woke up and I knew the Lord was saying something to me. In my personal journey with the Lord, in my ministry, the way I was going, it was a very good way to go at that moment in that plane, the old plane. You know, you can rely on these old planes. They're still flying today. Made in the 1930s or 40s, I don't remember the year, but they're still flying. They're reliable planes. But the Lord was saying, I believe, that we are now being entered into a season where the old things are not going to be reliable. There's a change. There's an acceleration change. In fact, as we were worshiping, that I just saw pictures of this church entering into a season, into a new direction, that there's something that you have not been able to go to before. There's something is going to happen, that there's going to be new ground. There's going to be a new way of doing things. There's going to be the old way is no longer going to be a model that you can build upon. There's something that God wants to do very quickly. And so a week ago or several weeks ago, I made an announcement, my wife and I, and we said it's been 20 years that we have moved, being called to Ottawa. And I felt there was a change coming in my life, and I felt the Lord was, you know, I did not really know where he was leading me to, but I went back to my village. And ever since I left my village, there was a number of things that have happened to me. One of them is my favorite fish, I became allergic to it. A couple weeks ago, I went back to my village and I was praying, Lord. I said, Lord, okay, what if you're calling us back to our people again, back to the wilderness? I want to hear. I want to understand. And the very first sign that he did to me was he healed me of this allergy. My sister cooked walleye, which I was allergic to all these years since I moved away. I took a little bite. Nothing happened. I took a bigger bite. Nothing happened. Then I had handfuls of fish. And I was enjoying this fish. And I felt like the Lord was saying, it's okay. You're going down a new path. It may look like an old path, but really it's going to be a brand new one, and you're going to see things. So as I'm sitting there, I could already picture a house of prayer that's going to be erected very fast in the wilderness. This tent of meeting is going to be established. And there'll be a training center for Native people. It'll be a new expression of worship and love and the works, you know. It's going to be a new place where people will come to pray. So let me just leave you with a couple of thoughts. What are you thankful for? And what do you remember? What's close to your hearts? Because all of these are I'm just going to make this statement. I was just sitting there and I wrote this little statement and I said, remembrance, remembering things, causes you to know things in a way that perhaps you've forgotten. So remembrance causes a knowing, a revelation of what God wants to do in your life. So I just want to challenge you. Think about your purpose. Think about your purpose at this hour of change. Think about your purpose at this hour of acceleration in our nation. There's things that God is going to do. He's going to move quickly. And we have to be ready. The old plane that you've been flying in is not going to do. It has to change. And prayer is going to be key. I believe, you know, he says here, continually mentioning in our prayers, intercession needs to be raised up yet even at a higher level or a deeper level, however you want to interpret it, but intercession is going to be very key, more so now than ever before, because God wants to move this nation in a new direction. And as you pray, there will be a revelation. There will be this remembrance leading you to knowing. There will be this perception of seeing things in a new way. This new perception is what God is asking for. Purpose, prayer is leading us to perception. It's leading us to a mindset change. It's opening our eyes to see things. Jeremiah, when he was being called, you know, he was asked, "What do you see?" And he said, I see an almond tree." I believe this is a message for the church today. This almond tree is a picture of an awakening from slumbering. It's moving ahead in the normal season. The almond tree would be the first to blossom. Before any other tree in the winter season, this almond tree would blossom. And it's the very almond branch that the staff of Moses, what's his friend, Aaron's staff, Aaron's rod, it budded to show us that this is actually real. It's not just a story. So we're all being called to see with new eyes. And the Lord would say to you, "What do you see? How are you going to perceive things?" And I believe, you know, this scripture here, it's, if you continue reading down, it says, you welcomed the message in the midst of severe sufferings and the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say about how the power of God is manifested. By what? Purpose. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. So there's got to be a purpose that is your relationship with God. And from your purpose will come a deep level of hunger to want to talk to God. Your intercession, your prayer. And from your time of intercession, tarrying still in the presence of God, will come an understanding, a perception of the way God sees things and the way God wants you to see things. And from your perception, from this revelation, will come the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of us are longing to see the power of God manifested in our lives? It's not just a story of the Pentecost. It's not just a story of the apostles and the disciples of old when they walked down the streets, their very shadows would heal the sick. It's not just a story that the blind can see, the lame could walk. You know, it's all those things that we can do today. Jesus said, "Greater things will you do in my name." So we need to see the power of God, not just longed for, but actually being released in each of us. This is what I long to see in our nation. I don't want to talk about those things anymore. I want to live them. I want God alive in me. So stand up for, and I'm just going to pray a prayer over you. I believe in corporate prayer. I believe in the release of the power of God. I believe that we have been raised up at this very hour to be a majority of believers raised up in the authority of God to take a place and to be able to see the purpose of God and the intercession of our Lord Jesus, who sits on the right hand of God, coming down through us, being channeled in us and through us. I believe when we are in the throne room, there is a perception. There is a revelation that is not just revelatory, but it is impacted. It actually influences all of us. And I believe, I want the power of God to be released in us now. Not tomorrow, but today. So when you walk out of this place, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to show you there are treasures out there. There's people out there that just are dying of hopelessness. You can be the hope. That you can inspire people, inspire hope in people. So that they will not just endure, but they will be a breakthrough. So just raise your hands. I just want to pray this prayer over you. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is sure. Your word will never fail. Heaven and earth can be shaken, but your word will always stand the test of time. Your word is like an arrow that is released and then it shoots and hits every target that it is aimed for. And I believe these men, these fathers, these mothers, on this day, this youth, there is an arrow that is aimed into their hearts and you're going to hit that target. And every purpose will be fulfilled in their lives. And that arrow that is going to also hit the target of intercession, where we men as fathers will begin to take our place to build the altar of prayer in our homes, and that we will just continue to build and stoke the fire of intercession in our homes. That our wives and our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, our friends and families will begin to see this fire burning in our homes. And we as fathers will take our place. And Father, I just want to ask you right now that you begin to release revelation, perception of the kingdom of God the way we need to see it today. Father, release this perception. Release revelation. Open the eyes that they may see afresh. That they may see things that they have never seen before. And Lord, I pray right now that you release the power of God in their lives. These are men and women and young that you have called for. You know, in Psalm 139, you've shown us in your word that you knew us. You created us in the womb. You knew everything about us. You created us in your image. And yet we find in when you spoke to Jeremiah, you even said to Jeremiah, I knew you before I created you in the womb. How deep is your love? How holy is the call on our lives? For you knew us before we were created in the womb. And you knew us and you shaped us in the womb. So Father, I speak blessings on this campus. I speak blessings into every home that is represented here. I speak blessing into every community that is represented. Every generation that is represented here. I speak blessings. I speak life. I pray, Father God, that your power will be manifested in tangible and practical and in ways that will surprise your own people. But the people around will begin to see the power of God. They will catch the vision of God for this nation. So, Father, I pray a blessing. I pray protection right now. I pray the revelation that you have caused each one to get a hold of will not be stolen the moment they leave. But it will take root in their lives and they will begin to germinate and begin to produce and grow. Father, I ask you this on this day, Father's Day. We turn to you, our Heavenly Father.
And we thank you for your word. And Father, I pray now, right now, that every healing that is needed is already been received. This is the power that we're asking for right now, Father. It's the power of faith to see the impossible, to see the power of healing in the lives of your people. So, Father, refresh us, strengthen us, cause us to leave this place renewed in our mindset, in our spirit, to know that there are greater things yet ahead and that we can do greater things in you. For your honor and for your glory, in Jesus' name.